Good morning, everyone. You give an army, ex-army or retired army officer the topic of follow me. Made me want to go back to the training area. The topic given to us this morning is follow me, and the scripture text is from the gospel according to John, chapter 21, verse 15 to 25. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a wonderful morning. Good weather, pleasant weather. And we thank you for this time that we can come together to worship you. May you speak with us this morning, my Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. At our Good Friday service, on 2nd of April, the speaker encouraged us. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. I actually wanted to try his slang, you know, because it's not to make fun at certain people, but the African Americans do have a very unique way, you know, in saying certain things. But I think I can't make it. So just here it is plainly. It's Friday. But Sunday is coming. And even as we observed the remembrance of the Lord Jesus' death on the cross two Fridays ago, we were already blessed with the foreknowledge that there will be a Sunday, isn't it? That Sunday is coming. He will be resurrected on Sunday. We all know this. The Bible tells us this. It's no secret. But it was not so for the disciples then. That Friday was the most disastrous and traumatic day for them. It was as if the world had come to an end. And I can just imagine the shock, the loss, the confusion, and the fear that they must have felt. The Messiah, who was to vanquish the enemies of Israel and lead Israel into a new golden age, had just been crucified on the cross. Just like a common criminal. Their hope, their vision, their dream were all dashed. All was lost. And in John chapter 20, verse 19, we were told that the disciples after that were huddled behind locked doors. Together in a room, huddled together, wondering what was going to happen to them. They were terrified. But thankfully for the disciples, Sunday came too. The stone sealing the tomb was rolled away. The tomb was empty except for the strips of burial cloth. And Jesus, who had risen from the dead, appeared to Mary Magdalene that morning and later on in the evening to some of his disciples. the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus on the cross was finished, completed, done. And in the words of our local artist, Hossein Leong, confirm and double confirm. But the work of the disciples was just about to begin. John 20:21 records that the first words of the risen Savior, the first words that he said to his disciples that evening was this: "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The Lord Jesus is now preparing his disciples to carry on with his work, to continue to make God the Father known to the world, to the lost, and to continue proclaiming the gospel, that those who believe may be saved. And in the scripture passage that we are examining today, we will look at a very interesting exchange between the risen Lord and Simon Peter. And let's see what we can learn from it, what the Lord wants to impress us with this. I'm trying to use, you know, follow some of the speakers, you know, always use the C or the B or the A for easy remembrance. And so, context. The first is context, which provides the background. I think it's important to understand the background, why certain things happened. And then comeback is on about the restoration of Peter and commissioning. What Peter went through was actually Jesus commissioning him for the work. And this is where we are also invited to follow him. So the first C, context, which gives us the background. So to understand the scripture passage that we are given this morning, we need to know what had taken place earlier. In particular, two incidents that took place on the very night before Jesus' death. And I'll thank Elder Ting Chiong for reading the two passages earlier. On the first passage from Mark chapter 14, verse 26 to 31, when Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to be killed, Simon Peter's very arrogant and insensitive response was, "Even if all fall away, I will not." Even if all fall away, I will not. And even after Jesus told Peter, "Peter, you will disown me three times," Peter refuted the Lord. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." Peter was not only absolutely confident of his personal courage and loyalty to protect Jesus, but had also, in his arrogance, placed himself above the rest of his disciples. In the second passage from the same chapter, 66 to 72, we witness how the fear and confusion led Peter into denying the Lord not once, not twice, but three times. Luke 22 verse 61 gives us a most heart-wrenching picture that just as the rooster crowed after Peter's denial, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. I think when the rooster crowed, Peter had already realized that he had denied Christ three times, just as Jesus had predicted. But that look from Jesus must have been something else. How ashamed and miserable Peter must have felt then. And with that background, that context, let's move to our scripture passage this morning. And I will read from it. John chapter 21, verse 15 to 25, NIV 1985 version. Verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the Last Supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Let's take a look at the second C, comeback, which talks about the restoration of Peter. And I have three sub-points there. Leave no man behind, which is an army term. Why three times? Before we take a look at ourselves. Leave no man behind. You would have probably heard of this quotation or this phrase many times, especially those in the army. This is a military code that is taught and ingrained into the soldiers. It boosts their morale, knowing that their comrades will stand with them shoulder to shoulder and fight. And that whatever happens, they will not be left behind. They will not be forgotten. But if the inevitable happens, and it does many times in a war, someone will always come back for them. And this helps the soldiers to fight more courageously, knowing that they will not be left alone. We read earlier of how Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. And if this is the first time that we have been reading the Bible and we come across the book, the gospel according to Mark, and we read until there, I wonder what would our reaction have been. Could it be, oh no, not another Judas? Because in the earlier chapter, Mark recorded that Judas had betrayed Jesus. Oh no, not another Judas. And we would have written Peter off, wouldn't we? Betrayer beyond redemption. But not so, the Lord Jesus. And let's take a look at Mark chapter 16, verse 6 to 7. Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. These were the initial words that the angel said to the 3 women who were the first ones to enter the empty tomb. Go, tell his disciples and Peter. The Lord Jesus was concerned for Peter. He had not forgotten him. He knew how Peter must have felt and how it must be affecting him. Peter was an extrovert and an arrogant one, never mincing his words. We heard how insensitive he was to his fellow disciples. He had declared his unfailing loyalty and courage to Jesus. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. And he had failed miserably. But at the very first opportunity, Jesus made doubly sure that Peter was not left out. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. Wasn't Peter one of the disciples? But go tell the disciples. Peter was included. But go tell the disciples and Peter. What an awesome God. Our Lord Jesus leaves no man behind. Why 3 times? Some explanations as to why the Lord Jesus asked Peter the question 3 times include, and I have there 3 points. Biblical numerology. Numerology. And this is a study that numbers used in the Bible has spiritual influences. You can go and Google this, you know, from the number 1 all the way down. But I will only talk about the number three. And the number three is considered as one of the most important numbers in the Bible, namely because it was based on the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the number three conveyed the idea of something divine, complete, and perfect. Peter's confession will be seen as complete, a true confession. Three denials, and therefore three confessions. Peter had denied the Lord Jesus three times, and therefore, one explanation is that now the Lord Jesus is giving him the opportunity to confess to each of his denial. So in a way, this can be seen as a form of reproach to Peter, but one that was also necessary to help him to come to a true repentance. Agape and phileo. Many Bible commentaries also point out that in this question-answer dialogue between the Lord Jesus and Peter, two different Greek words were used for the word love. For English, it's just love, but two different Greek words were used by the author, John. In his first two questions, in verse 15 and 16, Jesus used the word agape, which is the Greek word for the highest kind of love, a divine love, a sacrificial love, the love that God has for us. But in his replies, Peter had used phileo, which describes the love of a friend, a brotherly or a sisterly type of love. But in the last exchange between Jesus and Peter in verse 17, both of them used phileo. It implied that Peter needed to be reminded that the love that the Lord had for him was far superior to his love for the Lord. My take on why three times is that the Lord Jesus had already known all along that Peter truly loved him. He was also aware that Peter had already repented of his actions, of his denials. The Lord Jesus had already forgiven Peter. No more reproach was needed. Remember what the angel said to Mary at the tomb? Tell his disciples and Peter. And I think that the restoration for Peter was so that he would be able to forgive himself. The Lord knew his heart, his pains, his misery, his depression, and wanted to restore him to himself. Jesus used the right question. Do you love me? Peter could only answer either yes or no. And this led Peter to confess his love for the Lord, and in so doing, received the assurance that Jesus loved him, that Jesus had loved him all along, in spite of his failings, in spite of his denial, in spite of his betrayal. And Jesus knew that Peter truly loved him, and all had been forgiven. Because Peter had put himself above all the other disciples. Even if I have to die, Peter had put himself above all the other disciples. Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. And so Jesus added a twist to his first question. Do you truly love me more than these? And that was to heal Peter of the shame of his arrogance. And because Peter had boasted of his courage and loyalty, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Jesus asked, do you truly love me? To heal him of the shame of cowardice. But it was only with the third, do you love me? That Peter's deep guilt and hurt finally surfaced. It was the breakthrough that the Lord Jesus was waiting for. His reply to Jesus was, Lord, instead of just, Lord, you know I love you, right? That was his reply, the first two replies. And this time it was, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Peter realized by then that all along Jesus had always been aware of his innermost thoughts and feelings, including his feelings for the Lord Jesus. That in spite of his mother of all failings, the Lord had still loved him. And with that, Peter was restored, was delivered from the spiraling dark and bottomless pit of self-guilt and depression that would have destroyed him. What about us? You and I. Are there some hidden sin in our lives? What are the guilts or regrets that you and I have been living with? Although we are in relationship with the Lord, the Bible tells us that all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's from 1 John 1:8. But 1 John 1:9 continues with the most wonderful assurance of God's grace and mercy. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Or are we struggling with past failures, with fears, and with the worries of life, worrying about today, worrying about tomorrow, and tomorrow's tomorrow? I'm also reminded that I'm a steward of God's bountiful blessings to me. Have I been a good steward? Have I been faithful and obedient to the Lord in the way I live my life? Or am I reluctant to even surrender my lifestyle for his sake? Is it because I'm concerned that by saying yes to him, I may have to sacrifice my money, my time, my hobbies, and probably a lot more? Who is Jesus to me? Is he just my Savior or also my Lord? Is Jesus only a passport that grants me divine protection while on earth and a life of abundance and blessings? And eventually, when I pass on, the right to go to heaven. Is that what Jesus is to be? Brothers and sisters, whatever our spiritual condition today, our Lord is gracious and full of mercy. Just as he had looked out for Peter, Jesus is also looking out for us. Tell my disciples and Eng Chuan, tell my disciples and Jimmy, tell my disciples and Marilyn, and that man and that woman, and yes, don't forget that one too, who has stopped coming to church for many years because he thought that he was beyond redemption, that I don't love him anymore. Tell them, each one of them, that I'm waiting to meet them. And when I meet them, I have something important that I would like to ask them. The Lord is waiting patiently to restore us. If we had already repented, he has already forgiven us. If we have yet to repent, it's not too late. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sin may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And this is the question that our risen Savior and Lord would like to ask us. Hear his voice. Do you love me? And how many times will he ask us that same question? Once? Three times like Peter? My answer to you is this. He will ask us that question for as many times as we need to hear it. Respond then to him and receive the assurance of his love and the healing of our hearts, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. The last C, commissioning. And I put there, follow me, the whole concept of follow me. The three sub-points. One study guide on the Gospel of John outlined the commissioning of Peter with these three sub-points. A responsibility to be accepted, a cross to be carried, and a partnership to to be maintained. The first sub-point, a responsibility to be accepted. To love Jesus means accepting the responsibility for the Lord's people. So what does these responsibilities encompass? First, it's about the Lord's people. And over here, in this scripture passage from John chapter 21, the Lord classified his people as lambs and sheep. The lambs refer to those who are younger in faith. The sheep, those who are more mature in the faith. But note that all of them belong to the Lord. My lambs, my sheep. Peter was to take on the role of the under-shepherd over the flock of Jesus Christ, which Jesus had bought with his own blood. It's taken from Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Second, responsibility. One of the responsibilities is to feed the lambs, to feed the sheep. The Lord's people need to be taught God's word. How can you be the Lord's people if you do not know whatever he's teaching or saying? And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, all scripture is God-breathed. Doesn't that make us want to devour the Bible? All scripture is God-breathed. It's from the Lord. You know, sometimes I think we are more interested in novels than in the Bible, right? Fiction sometimes, you know. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are here for a purpose. There's a meaning to our lives. But to have that, we need to know God's word. God's people need to be taught. Peter was to teach them what he had learned from the Lord Jesus. To take care of the third sub-point. The Lord's people need protection, they need guidance, they need support, and they need encouragement as they navigate life in this crooked and perverse world. And also from the attacks of the evil one. The Greek word that was used here to take care of also conveyed the responsibility to provide supervision, to oversee, to manage, to take charge of. And so Peter was not only to pastor the flock, but also to provide the necessary leadership. Peter was now ready to accept these responsibilities. A cross to be carried. Jesus revealed to Peter that he would die a martyr. Having failed Jesus earlier on with his own strength, Peter would now have to learn how to rely totally on the Lord and be willing and ready to die a martyr for the glory of God. His life journey with Jesus has led Peter to understand more fully the Lord Jesus' exhortation in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Peter was now ready to carry his cross. The last sub-point, a partnership to be maintained. To love Jesus is to follow him. Jesus instructed Peter, follow me. You know, by this time, Peter and all the other disciples had been following the Lord Jesus for about 3 years since he started his ministry. And I think if you read the Bible, read the Gospels, the journey may not have been an altogether easy one. But it had definitely been, for the most part, an amazing journey following Jesus. How can following God be boring? They were in the inner group. They saw Jesus close up. What Jesus looked like in the morning when he wakes up. They had been impacted by his teaching. In fact, some of the deeper insights that the others have not heard. They witnessed the numerous miracles performed. And we read, isn't it, the last part of John chapter 21. Many of these have not been recorded. Too many. But those that have been recorded was for us. For us to know and not only have they witnessed Jesus performing all those miracles, but they themselves had received the empowerment to perform the miracles as well. But the death of Jesus threw them off. But with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, every doubt had now dissipated. They knew who Jesus is now. That he is the Messiah. It's the Messiah they have been following, they've been fellowshipping, they've been learning from all these years. If they had followed him then, just imagine with this new found confidence, assurance. I think the disciples were all raring to go, isn't it? Now they would just throw everything aside to follow Jesus, to continue following him, even to the ends of the world, even to their death. And we know what happened, isn't it? Tradition tells us, or church history tells us, that all died martyrs except the Apostle John. They were ready. They truly loved the Lord and really desired to be with him. Don't we? We love somebody, we want to be with that someone, isn't it? Can you say, I love you, but I don't want to be with you? The invitation to follow Jesus is an invitation not only for the task ahead, it's commissioning, do work to be done. No, it's not just for the task ahead. but to be in relationship with Him. And I think Jesus is more concerned about this relationship than the tasks ahead. But in this exchange, after Jesus telling him, follow me, Peter was distracted by John also standing up. And Jesus had to rebuke him and repeat his instruction, this time in a more assertive manner. You must follow me. You must follow me. It was important for Peter, and I think for us, for Peter to be reminded and for us to note that due to the many distractions of the world and the nature of fallen humanity, we need to be really focused when we follow the Lord Jesus. In conclusion, Sunday happened. In fact, everything happened just as our Lord Jesus said it would. Jesus died exactly the way he described he would. He rose from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion, just as he told his disciples he would. He appeared to them many times after, and they couldn't deny his resurrection and his Godship. He is the Messiah that the Torah had been talking about. Convinced now beyond the shadow of a doubt, the disciples became his ardent followers and witnesses to the world, even to the ends of the world. Jesus loves us, you and I, just as much. This morning's passage has brought us through the encounter between the Lord Jesus and Peter. And we have also heard the testimonies of John and the other disciples. And I hope that the Lord is speaking to you. You too have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You too have a history of journeying with the Lord. How then will we now respond to Jesus at this point of time in our lives, today, tomorrow, the days to come? Do you love me? To love Jesus is to follow him. To follow Jesus is to experience the joy of his presence and his fellowship. But we must be prepared to accept the responsibilities of being his follower. We must also be prepared to carry our cross. Afraid that we may fail him? We should be. It's only natural. But we will fail him only if we do it on our own strength. Not if we rely on the Lord. His divine power will carry us, will enable us, will empower us. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 exhorts us that we can do everything through him who gives our strength. As I close in prayer, can I invite you to stand for the closing prayer and the benediction for those of you who are able to. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for continuing to uplift us to God the Father. Thank you for loving us in spite of all our unfaithfulness and our failings. We love you, Lord. May you renew our minds May you strengthen our hearts and may you refresh our souls. In your name we pray. Amen. Now may the goodness of God be your portion in life. The mercies of God be your assurance in trials. The peace of Christ be yours in your heart. The love of God be your sustenance each and every day. Amen.